Welcome to the Personal Perseverance Project. My name is David Atkins, retired New York State Trooper, million-dollar direct sales, international business earner, author, and keynote motivational speaker, where each week I come here to help you break through your excuses so you can live a life up to your fullest potential. Let the project begin.
That is my mindset. I operate on a level of excellence, and you guys need to wake up every single day, and you need to operate on a level of excellence and create your masterpiece.
All right, guys, I'm so excited about this interview that I just finished with Jared Sklar. Wow, hearing his story of perseverance, grit, taking action, getting through all these trials and tribulations of his life. You definitely are going to want to hear this message, but let me give you a quick little background about Jared so you know who he is. So Jared Sklar is a self-proclaimed former couch potato turned Ironman, ultra marathoner, and body trainer who lost, listen to this, 100 pounds after discovering a love for cycling and endurance sports. He is also a running and triathlon coach who works with athletes of all backgrounds, ranging from new runners just starting out their training to a 5K to experienced athletes training for a triathlon. So let's dive into this interview. Let's talk to Jared, and I know you're absolutely going to enjoy this. All right, guys. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Personal Perseverance Project. I am really excited. I even just had maybe 15, 20 minutes talking to our guest today of Jared, just catching up. Such an inspiration of Jared's story. You heard a little bit about it when I opened up just before this, but where he was from when he was in his younger days to where he is now, his accomplishments that he's continuing to go after things. So I want to dive right into this. So Jared, welcome to the podcast. How you doing, my friend?
Thank you. First of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm so excited to get into the nitty gritty.
Absolutely. This is great, guys. So I want to dive into it because Jared is a big person into health and wellness and mindset. I got to see him speak on a big stage in front of thousands of people. I have personally taken Jared's classes, but he wasn't always the person you see all right now. Like when I saw Jared before, I'm like, wow, Jared, you look amazing. Like you're lean, you look strong, but it didn't always start that way. So Jared, let's just start from where you grew up. Tell me a little bit about your family, your background, and let's go right from there.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan. Now I live in LA, and things actually changed when I moved out to LA. But you know, growing up in Detroit, Michigan, my family, you know, my grandfather really enjoyed sports, and my father as well, but never really paid attention to the diet aspect of health. And so, you know, growing up, I played team sports, but I was always in a pretty overweight kid. I wouldn't say I was like super overweight, but, you know, definitely on the bigger side. And, you know, having a family where, especially my family in the Midwest, everything was fried. Like I look back now and it's funny, like eating, you know, at least in my family, the way it was is like, you know, if you're having a vegetable, it's going to be like French fries. Right. So yeah, never really had a background in health, or even paid attention to that stuff really. And, it really came to a head in 2019 where I had a couple light bulb moments and kind of realized that, at that point I had kind of ballooned up to about 100 pounds overweight and realized that I had to make a change. And so that kind of spurred this whole lifestyle transformation and kind of led me to the place I am today.
Oh, wow. So did you have siblings at all, or you did?
Yeah, I have two older sisters. They're like 8 and 9 years older than me.
Wow, they're 8 or 9 years older than. And what about them? Like you're saying the Midwest, everything was fried. Was this something you would say you grew up and you were surrounded by in the family and friends with the eating and like even in high school? So you just said this. What about your high school, college years? How was that like? And how was it with your family and siblings when it came to that?
You know, it's interesting because now that you mentioned it, my sisters are both fit and I was always kind of like the bigger one. So it's always funny. We joke around. I'm 6'2". My sisters are 5'1" and 5'1.5".
Oh, wow.
And so somehow it just like worked out great that they're petite and I'm, you know, the taller one. But But yeah, it's interesting. And like I kind of mentioned, I was always the bigger guy growing up. But then once I got into college, it kind of like ballooned even more. I was, you know, typical like heavy drinker in college. That's not necessarily the case anymore. But yeah, it's, you know, it was one of those things where I'd be in the caf, the dorm cafe all the time because I had like an unlimited card. And if I wasn't having a meal and finishing it with a thing of soft serve ice cream, then it was a weird day for me, you know?
No, absolutely. And as we know though, Jared, like that's the majority of the way people are today with the obesity problem and the way people are. What is it? 2/3 of the country is overweight or obese. So like you just get caught up in just doing and accepting your life and going through the motions and eating and doing all those things. So I'm curious, like, what was the light bulb moment? Like, what was that? Was it, were you struggling mentally? What did something happen physically? Like, when did you finally say like, I'm done, I'm making a change?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Cause like I mentioned, I went to Western Michigan, cold winters, like, throughout the winter, like I said, you know, eating at the cafe all the time, like packing on, like that was at least my mindset, right? And but you know, once I graduated college, I moved out to LA, and you know, for the first couple of years, it was kind of the same trend, right? And from a mental perspective, like you said, like I was in a couple of careers that, you know, although I was pretty successful, I was doing my thing, like I wasn't truly happy with the place that I was in. And that really took an effect on not only my physical well-being, but my mental well-being as well. Like I just was not happy. And like, luckily I have, you know, my wife was my girlfriend at the time. Luckily I've had her throughout this entire process, but you know, like just mentally from a mental point of view, I was not happy with the way my career was going, and it was bleeding over into my personal life as well. And how did I cope with that? I would eat more and eat more. And I just like kept ballooning up and up and up until eventually I had a couple of sort of like light bulb moments that all coincided at the same time, which is
right. Kind
of like a stroke of like lightning strikes. Like I just got so lucky that this all sort of happened at the same time where I came to the realization that I needed to make a change. There are three stories that kind of happened all at the same time. First one is I was playing flag football. I was in the flag football league. And, you know, I was bigger guy. So sort of like a tight end lineman situation where even though it was a flag football league, it was still contact. Right.
Right.
And this one week we were playing this like really gritty game, and I go out to make a cut for a pass, and I like tweaked my hamstring super bad. I like barely could even walk. It was awful. Right. And, you know, kind of just like rub some dirt on it and complain through the game.
How old are you now, Jared, to give everybody an idea?
So this was 2019, 2018. So I was 27, 28.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so literally just like tweaked my hamstring so bad. And I kept playing week after week. Every Sunday, it would just get worse. And eventually I had to go to the doctor and basically like limped in. And this doctor was like, listen, like you have a bad hamstring pull. You're going to have to be like on the sideline for a couple of weeks, if not months, until this hamstring strain or pull, you know, heals itself. Like you got to just rest. Otherwise, it's just going to keep getting worse. And as I was walking out the door, he suggested that I try cycling. And like, I was like, no. In LA, there's a huge cycling community, right? And at the time, like I said, like not into sports other than team sports. And you'd see these people on the side of the road with their spandex and their neon. And I was like, that is not me.
Yeah.
But he convinced me. He's like, listen, like it's low impact. It'll help you recover and get back on the football field quicker. And so begrudgingly, I tried it out. And as I was going through that process of like going to this gym that I never went to, like trying to rehab my leg, I sort of started to fall in love with cycling. And around that same time, I was like home from work one day and I was eating lunch, and I went to open my fridge, and I opened the fridge and there were three different pizza boxes from three different restaurants in the fridge. And like literally, like you open up the fridge and they're like stacked on top of each other. They're like almost falling out, right?
Right, right.
I was like, crap. Like if I'm putting in all this time and effort at the gym to rehab, but also like kind of like I'm feeling the best I've felt in a long time,
Right.
Why am I going to spend an hour in the gym and then come home and then just open up a box of pizza and basically negate all those gains in 5 minutes? Like, it's the 5 minutes of gratitude.
Right.
Or like, you know, like the happiness from eating the pizza, is it worth the hour that I'm putting in? And the answer is no. So I got into intermittent fasting and changed my diet as well. And so this kind of like went on over 6 months. And I ended up losing 100 pounds over 6 months. It was the craziest. Wow. You know, most people don't have that type of transformation. And I realize that. Right. But like, I just dove head on into this thing. And the third light bulb moment that happened was, you know, I created this new lifestyle. But you hear it all the time where somebody will lose a bunch of weight. They'll lose 20, 30 pounds. They'll be satisfied. And then the pendulum swings and they go right back. Right.
So true. And
so I lost all this weight, and that's kind of in the back of my mind. And going back to my family history, right? Like, diet not being a huge part of it. I got in a phone call one day, my dad, who, you know, generally really good shape. You know, he didn't necessarily, you know, play sports or anything like that, but you never really thought that there were any health issues at the time. He was mid-60s. He called me. It was right before Halloween in 2019. So what, 4 years ago? And he calls me and said, Jared, I went to the doctor and turns out I actually had a heart attack. Or at that point, we actually didn't know that he had a heart attack. But basically, he had gone to the cardiologist, and basically they had come up with the realization that he needed to have quadruple bypass surgery.
Wow.
And so, like, I'm getting this call out of the blue. Here, I'm, like, starting this brand new lifestyle. Mm. I get this, like, shocking phone call out of the blue. Didn't even realize anything was wrong. And so I fly back. It was, like, the next week, or maybe it was a couple of days later. It was literally on Halloween that year. And so while everybody's out partying, having a good time, I am with my dad in the hospital. And I just remember seeing him, like, in the hospital. And a little bit of backstory on my family. On his side, all of the men on his side of the family have had heart issues. So my grandfather passed away from a heart attack. My uncle passed away from a heart attack. My great uncle, also on that side, had heart complications. So, like, this is something that's on that side of the family. And since then, my dad has had an awesome recovery. He eats way better. He's physically active. He's, like, totally different person. Like, my transformation is great. His transformation has been awesome to see. But I just remember thinking to myself, my uncle, his brother, had passed away when he was 39 from a heart attack. I was 27 or 28 at the time. I remember being in the hospital thinking, if my pendulum swings back, if I gain all this weight back, if I lose this momentum, who knows? This could be me in 10 years. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, like, between those three stories, like, getting into cycling, changing my diet, and then seeing my dad, and that being, like, etched in my brain that if I don't keep this momentum going, this could be me. Those were the three things that really, like, catapulted me in this sort of direction. And obviously there were other stories along the way, but, you know, it was a tough pill to swallow to see my dad in that situation. And it was a real light bulb moment that, you know, my family history, the writing is on the wall.
Right.
If I don't keep this up, and obviously, who knows, like, heart disease and heart complications, you know, still could potentially happen, but rather lower the risk of something like that happen by controlling what I can control.
No, absolutely. So, Jared, when you first started out, what would you say? So you were 6'2", and how much would you say you weighed at that time when you started?
I was like 290.
So you're 290, close to 300 pounds. Yeah. And, you know, a big thing I'm taking away as I listen to you and things I always talk about is the power of, you just have to have a why of why you do things. There's usually that light bulb moment. And then for you, you know, having, you know, whether it was the pizza boxes or the injury, but then really you're seeing your dad and you bringing up the point, like, is this going to be me? And I think it's important for people that listen that, you don't want to wait until all of a sudden you have the emergency. You know, in my thing, I always say, and I say it all the time, life doesn't always fire a warning shot. It's because sometimes you got to look at the warning shots of other people. And for maybe you, it's hearing Jared's story or just hearing this, because That sounds like that was the straw that broke the camel's back. That, right? Would you say that with your dad?
100%. And it's actually interesting because, you know, my why, you were talking about my why, right? It started off very, I don't know if selfish is the right word, but it started off like very inward facing, right? Like, I want to change how I feel, right? And it was because it started off with the hamstring pull, right? Like a negative situation that I want to rectify, right?
Right.
That seemingly negative situation ended up catapulting me into this like fitness realm and this new lifestyle. And then, you know, what happened with my dad, that sort of like opened up my eyes to, you know, this isn't just about me. This is about, you know, like bettering myself, becoming sort of like helping other people, because I was helping my dad a little bit with his diet and things like that, like pointing him in the right direction. And then I became a coach. And so like where it started off, my why being about like, how can I become the best version of myself, which is also always sort of like the baseline. Now it's sort of transformed into, how can I help more people? How can I spread this message of not just like, a lot of people I'm sure have a preconceived notion of cycling, right? A lot of people think about cycling the way I used to think about it,
right?
But it saved my life in a lot of ways. So like, how can I be a sounding board for not just cycling, but fitness in general, to help people get to the place that they want to get to and help them reach new heights? Because like, number one, it is about reaching new heights, but also like heart disease is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. Like, how can we lower that number?
Right.
That's
right.
always in the back of my mind. Right. So
I love, there's two things I love that you said there. The one is, and it's common, is very often your why early on for anybody when you're trying to improve in your life, no matter what it is selfish in a way. That's okay. That's part of the journey, right? When I decided, you know, to change things in my life for the better, it's selfishly motivated at first. But then what happens is through natural growth, and you said it, you do it, and then you start making an impact in other people's lives. And then the feeling you get from that is 10,000 times better, right? Would you agree?
It's incredible. And, you know, I now coach cycling classes on body and some strength classes on body, but, you know, I also coach athletes. So runners who are trying to do their 5K, their first 5K, who are just getting into running, all the way up to, you know, some clients are doing full Ironman distance triathlons, which is an avenue of places that I didn't even think that I was going to ever get into when I first started this journey.
Right.
But helping them get to the finish line is so freaking rewarding. Like, there's nothing like it, because, you know, I have this one girl in particular that I'm thinking of. Last year, she ran her first 5K, and she fell in love with running so much that she's actually training for the Chicago Marathon, which is in this October. And so going from a 5K all the way up to a marathon in a calendar year, basically, and seeing her growth over that time is just incredible.
Incredible. And I think, look what it's done for you and your growth. Like, I think there's that Zig Ziglar quote, help enough people get what they want and you will get what you want. And just Jared, you explain how you now paying it forward, and helping other people. And in turn, your brand is growing. You're even growing yourself ultra marathon. You're growing your business. And I think for people listening, like, yes, you always start with yourself, but when you flip the switch and you can pay it forward and help others with what you learned and help other people get better, you attract who you are. It's going to come back to you tenfold. And that's exactly what happened. You literally are living like that law of putting people first and serving people first. That's amazing. So talk to me about like the mindset of losing 100 pounds. So you lose 100 pounds. That's not easy. Like that you didn't say 10 pounds. You said 100 pounds. So like, and you did it in 6 months, you said, right, Jared? So like, what were the ups and downs? What kept you going? Like, what adversity? It was not easy. I know there's a story behind that. So I'd love to hear a little bit about that transformation.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because it starts off with these little goals, right? It's like, first off, it's just, I want to rehab my hamstring. And it's as simple as that, right? Like, I need to get on the bike and I don't have anything planned. I'm just going to sit on the bike for 45 minutes to an hour a day. And that's goal number one. And then I started to sort of fall in love with cycling, and like literally it would become sort of my outlet, right? I mentioned earlier, when this whole thing happened, I was in a career that I did not like. I was I wouldn't say I was like depressed, but like showing up to work every day and being exhausted because I was lethargic and out of shape, and even just getting out of bed every morning was a chore. Going to work and then having that constant of, I know I'm going to show up and go on the bike and sit on the bike for 45 minutes to an hour and throw in my headphones. That was my escape of my day-to-day work life, right? Like, I knew whenever I was stressed out, if I was dealing with a client that, you know, was giving me a hassle, or, you know, at the end of the day, I was in a career that I didn't like. So
what were you in, Jar? What were you doing?
I was in payroll and HR sales.
Okay. Totally different.
Payroll software.
Okay. Totally different.
Not gratifying. Yeah. Like, you know, at the end of the day, you're helping people, and in some cases you're saving them money, but like, it's not a lifestyle change. You're not helping them. You're not making a real impact on their lives. At least that's how I felt at the time. Right. So, you know, the bike was my safe haven every single day. If I was having a crappy day, put it out on the bike, right? If I was having a great day, celebrate the wins on the bike, right? Like, jam out, throw it. Like, I had my own little personal rave in the gym, right? And so, like, it started off with these little wins, and like, it was not easy all the time, but because I framed it in, like, instead of it wasn't a chore to go to the gym and sit on the bike and have this little party by myself, it was, I get to do this because everything else, like, aside, obviously my relationship with my girlfriend at the time, not my wife, like I said, was great. My professional life was just like dragging me down. And so, like, having her and then having the bike, it was something that I looked forward to, you know what I mean?
And what I'm recognizing is that when you find something that you love, you will push through the hard times. Right. So like you're like, you fell in love with the process because of how good it made you feel. And for everybody, it's different. It doesn't even mean health and wellness. It could be anything in a career. There's people that are miserable in their careers and their life is wasting away. And then they make that switch to something they love. And when you love something, that's when you'll push through the adversity. And in this case, for you, the framework is, I loved what it was doing for me and how it made me feel on the bike in your case. So that's really what pushed you through the adversity, right? Would you say that's the degree?
100%. Yeah. I mean, listen, there's so many different forms of fitness out there, right?
Right.
Like cycling, running, there's weightlifting, there's Zumba, there's Pilates. There's a million different modalities, right? The one thing that I tell all my athletes or people who ask me about, like, how can I make a transformation or how can I do X, Y, Z? You need to find something that you love, because if you don't love it, if it's a chore, then guess what? You're not going to create a lifestyle change. Maybe you'll have a flash in the pan. Maybe you'll have some success. But if you're not creating that lifestyle change, if it's not something that you're going to do consistently, you know, week in and week out, then eventually you're going to burn out on it and your pendulum's going to swing right back in the opposite direction, kind of like what we were talking about earlier.
Totally. And I also believe, and I know we both have a mutual person we look at and look up to, David Goggins, when he talks about, I'm a big believer that when you find a thing you love and you push through the hard times, you're losing 100 pounds. He calls it building the mental calluses on your brain. I'm a big believer and preach, like, listen, it's great to be fit and have muscles and look good. I get that. Everybody wants that. But for me, I'm so much more on realizing by me pushing myself physically and challenging myself, it carries over to facing the day-to-day challenges and obstacles just in life, right? It's the mental wins of, I just killed this workout. Then when you face life and face adversity, it's going to carry over there.
100%. And you made me think of something that, you know, I've never really like talked out loud about, but it's the way I think about it, right? So like, for those of you who are watching it on this on video, if you're just listening to a podcast, right behind me, I have like all my medals from my races. And then I have like, that's my finish line from my Ironman that I did. A lot of people, when they think about a race, right, or like, or anything, right, they think of this moment right here. They think of crossing that finish line. They think of like holding their hands in the air. I've just done this great thing, right? To me, when I look at all these medals, like, sure, I've never won a race, right? I've never won a triathlon, whatever. Every one of these medals behind me has a story behind it, right? For instance, like this one right here, right? This is my most recent race I did. David alluded to earlier. I did a 50-mile ultra marathon, right? When I see that medal, I think of at mile 35, struggling my way up the mountain I haven't taken my shoes off, but I know for a fact that I have blisters all over my feet. I look down and my feet start tingling. This is going to sound disgusting, but a blister pops, soaked my shoe filled with whatever.
Yep.
And I had to push through that, right?
Oh, man.
And so, and all these different races have these stories, that was a 50-mile race. That 50 miles I completed in just over 11 hours is filled up with all these minuscule moments of mindset and like pushing myself past a place that I would have never thought that I'd be able to get to. So when I think about all these different races, I think of all those moments where I could have given up. I could have thrown in the towel. I could have DNF'd, right? Like there's always the option to just take the cart and go back to the finish line, right?
Right.
But instead, these medals are proof that I was able to overcome a situation, find my way through a difficult challenge. And that's not in a vacuum, right? So like whenever something happens outside of race day, whenever I'm training for something, or if something goes sideways in day-to-day life, guess what? I can lean on that moment. Whatever I'm dealing with right now is not mile 35 where I felt like my feet were going to fall off, right? And if I can handle that situation, I can handle this situation.
Oh,
and
so that's amazing.
Building that, I think David Goggins talks about the cookie jar, right? So like building that mental toughness and knowing like if something goes haywire in day-to-day life, I can lean on those past experiences to know that I can overcome whatever life throws my way.
It's so beautiful what you're saying, because it's so true. I can't say it enough that pushing yourself physically, you pushing in that mile 35 and going through and how it carries over. And you're like, that is a huge nugget. Like, that's why it's, beside you getting healthy, that's the most important thing. It's so you're better in all areas of your life. So, Jared, two questions I have for you. One is, question and a point. But first the question, like, what is your mind? Like, you're at that point, right? Your foot, the blister, you're at mile 35. You're literally like, I have 15 miles left. What is your driving force at that point? Like, what is it that you feel for you gives you the grit to say, I'm going to keep going? Like, so what's your thought process?
Yeah, I think it's a couple of things, right? So it's relying on training, right?
Okay.
So that moment, you don't just go out and run 50 miles. You don't just go and do an Ironman, which is 140.6 miles, which saying out loud, even to this day, sounds freaking crazy to me, right?
Right.
You don't just show up, right? You build that. Kind of like what we were talking about earlier, right? Like you build your armor day in and day out so you can rely on that. But at the end of the day, there's going to be those times where you want to give up, and that's normal, right? That's natural.
Yep.
Those people that, like David Goggins, who run 250 plus mile races, they're not feeling great the entire way. Like you have to callous the mind, kind of like what he talks about. But for me, it really falls back on having a purpose driven why, right? Like a lot of people have a why, but what's the purpose behind it? If it's not rooted in something strong, if you don't have something like some serious conviction as to why you're doing something, then it's going to be so easy to give up and pull the plug, right? Like for me, like I was talking about earlier, right? Like if I don't keep moving forward, I could very easily let my foot off the gas and end up, you know, just as I lost the weight, I could gain that weight right back. And so for me, it's about continuous forward progress, both literally and physically. And when it comes to those tough moments, I just think about the reason why I signed up for the race in the beginning with, right? And
right.
That goes on race day and off race day, right? It's like, why am I doing what I'm doing? If you don't know why, then I think you need to recalibrate and then really, because like, I think a lot of the time, like back in my past life, I was just going through the motions, right? I was in a career that I didn't really like. I was just kind of living and floating along. I was just kind of, you know, gliding. And you kind of, and you've talked about this in your book, right? Like tomorrow isn't promised, right? So you got to find a way forward and you got to find a reason for it. And that's kind of what I rely on when things get tough.
So what would you say is your biggest fear then? You think for you, it's part of not going back to your past?
I think it's hard to putting me on the spot there. Like I have a lot of fears, right? Like, but what I found is like the things that scare me the most are the things that I try to go head on into the most, right? Like those are, yeah, exactly. Like, and it can sound like super cheesy, But to me, the things that I've been the most afraid of that I've found a way forward through are the most gratifying in the long run. So just trying to find a way to plow through. Like, for instance, I'm terrified of heights. And this is a little bit of a side tangent. I'm terrified of heights. Mm. It is like, I could go like on a big building and there'd be a low rail and I will like freeze, right?
Right.
When I studied abroad in Australia and then I went to New Zealand after I graduated college, I went bungee jumping. And like, it's like overcoming that fear. Like, that's one of the biggest fears that I have, and like finding a way through that. And like, when you do that, it's exhilarating because it's like, the thing that scares me the most, I can find a way to overcome it. And that kind of right. goes back to what I was talking about earlier. Right. So, I mean, I think that I'm constantly afraid of like I mentioned a couple of times, the pendulum can swing back at any moment, but I'm also afraid. David Goggins, we keep talking about David Goggins, but he on one of his interviews, I'm a huge fan, in case you couldn't tell. In one of his interviews, he talked about this concept, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but he talks about, like, say your life is over and you're in heaven, right? And you meet your maker, and they're kind of like going over and recapping like what you've accomplished during life. And you know, it's something along the lines of like, this is what was planned for you. If you didn't keep this thing going, if you didn't work as hard as you could, like maybe you wouldn't have reached your full potential, right?
Yeah.
And so like, I think about that all the time, right? Like it's easy to look in the short term, but like if you just find a way to keep pushing forward through those tough times, and if you find different ways to get uncomfortable and different ways to grow, like maybe you can even exceed what was quote unquote planned for you
right.
over the long term. So I think about that all the time, right? Like do things that are scary, do things that are going to help you grow and move forward and make you the best version of yourself possible.
You have to face your fears. That's what it comes down to. You have to face them. Too many people get trapped. They get stuck in them. And that's what stops them. You know, circling back, you brought up another good point. You know, I like to often say, work with what you have with where you are, because what you have is plenty. And what I mean by that is, you started off and saying you never, Jared, when you were 100 pounds heavier, you never were thinking or focusing on running a 50 mile race or running a mile or doing what you're doing now. And I think so often, and maybe you can speak on this, when people are in that position where they're 100 pounds overweight, or maybe it's financial. I went bankrupt. I lost my business. My marriage is falling apart. Like, people compare themselves and say, I will never reach that. You know, I'm 100 pounds overweight. I'm never going to run a marathon. And I think people, the understanding, no, work with what you have in front of you, because there's plenty. Just take care of one thing at a time. And then, you know, that's that habit stacking principle, that once you do a little bit better, you do a little bit more, a little bit more. So talk on that, because you started and you never pictured yourself here. But I think it goes for every area in life. If people are struggling, it's no, just take that first step.
Yep. Listen, I mean, I kind of talked about it earlier, right? But like, my first objective was to heal my hamstring, right? That was number one.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, I fell in love with cycling, and I started going every day, and I lost 10 pounds. And then I lost 20 pounds. And then, you know, all of a sudden, I lose 100 pounds. And then now what, right? Now, you know, my dad ended up having the heart surgery. I lost 100 pounds. I could have stopped then, but then it's like, okay, I'm going to keep going, and now I'm going to find another avenue that brings me joy and helps other people. So I'm going to start teaching and start, you know, kind of like growing that web. And so I started teaching cycling classes. I ended up falling into triathlon because I was teaching a cycling class, and a girl in my class was like, hey, I know you love cycling. Let's see if you would do a triathlon. And I had never really ridden a road bike, like, you know what I mean? So I was like, you know what, let's try that. And so I did this sprint triathlon. It was a short thing. It's like a 2-hour, 3-hour thing, right? And then once I do the sprint, I do the Olympic, and then I do the half Ironman, and then I do the full Ironman. So it's like, it cascades. You start to build that momentum. And once you get momentum, it's hard to slow you down, right? Like, yes, you can get knocked off track, but at the end of the day, if you build that momentum, keep going. And just keep that ball rolling, for sure.
I love it. You just keep going, and doors keep opening for you.
Yeah. And I think like the biggest thing is what you talked about before is like, take action, right? So many people, there's so much information out there, right? Like, there's podcasts, there's audiobooks, there's paperbacks, there's fitness program. Like, there's so much information out there, and sure, sometimes it's hard to know exactly where to go, but guess what? The information's out there. Take action. Take one step. Once you take that step, take another step. Keep going and find some consistency in that action. If that's not working for you, pivot, find something else, but just staying complacent and not taking action, you're going to end up in the same exact place that you're at right now, just 5 years down the road.
I love it. It may have to be the title of this episode, is Take Action. I love it.
I always say, and it's something I started saying a couple years ago, it's like, imperfect action is better than perfect inaction. So like, it's going to be messy to start off. When you start doing something new, it's not going to be perfect.
Yeah.
Give yourself that grace. It's like when I started getting on the bike, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I was just sitting on this bike for 45 minutes. And then I started to learn, like, how do I program something for myself that's going to, and I was kind of like my own little test subject, right? I was just showing up, seeing what worked, seeing what didn't. And then eventually I start armoring myself with all that knowledge. And now I can also all of a sudden teach other people what I know, right? Mm. If I was just sitting there and trying to be a perfectionist, and they talk about paralysis by analysis, right? If you're just trying to be perfect right off the bat, then you're not going to get anywhere, right? You're just going to keep punting down the line. Oh, I'll start in a week. I'll start next month. I'll start next year. The whole thing is, oh, diet starts Monday, right? Like, now, just do something now. Like, once you do that, once you can commit to that mindset where, even though I don't want to, I'll find a way to do this right now, even if it's little, then you can all of a sudden, that all those little changes build up to huge results.
I love it. No, that's amazing. So now you lose the weight, you start cycling, and let's come. So that was 19-20. So then over the last couple of years, you really have, you know, you've made a name for yourself. You've started, I love the hat, his business, Sun Cycle. I see it. You become a trainer with Body on there. That's how I first connect with you. I'm like, this guy is so motivating. I love it. So how did, like, you then switch to being an entrepreneur, right? From Sun Cycle and then a trainer. So talk about that process. So how did that happen?
Yeah. You know, that's a whole other tangent that I could talk on for hours, but long story short, I fell into Beachbody. So I was in my 9-to-5, I was in like software sales, and then I actually got into recruitment sales, and, you know, just in a position that I was not happy with. But I was teaching cycling classes on the side, and I was making $20 a class. I was like, it was not enough to support myself, just to say the least, right? But I would go to my 9-to-5 and I would hate it. And then I would go and teach a class, and it was the highlight of my day. And so I would look forward to this 1 hour, if I was teaching two classes, 2 hours after work, where I could just kind of let go and bring the energy up with this awesome class of students with me, right? And so I was doing that for a long time. Then I ended up, there was another company called Beach Cycle that was on the beach in Santa Monica. This was all around the pandemic. So things got moved outside. And so I ended up teaching on the beach at Beach Cycle. And then one day, out of the blue, I'm at lunch at my job that I didn't like. And I get this DM from one of the producers over at Beachbody asking if I wanted to audition. And so apparently they found me on Instagram, and talk about things that I'm afraid of. Flashback 4-5 years ago, public speaking, number one fear over heights, right? So like, public speaking terrifies me. Talking to a camera, still, like, even to this day, like, I still am not totally, like, I'm comfortable in my element on the bike, but like, talking to a camera, it does not come natural to me, right? So I get this message to audition, and first off, I thought it was like a scam because it was somebody DMing me that I didn't even know. Like, I didn't have a following on Instagram, right?
Right.
But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go and audition. I think it would be awesome, right? I think that it would be cool to, again, like, I'm rooted in this why of trying to help as many people as possible through cycling. And if I get this opportunity, I'm able to cast that net even wider to, you know, sort of like bang my chest and be like, cycling changed my life. It can change yours as well, right?
And you're facing another fear, Jared. Like, this is the fear thing. So now you're facing another fear.
Yeah, and so I get to the studio, and it's like, think of it like a big like newscasting studio. It's like there's a big stage, and there's a big stage behind me. For those of you who aren't on body, basically everybody who is taking the class has the option to, screen themselves behind the trainer. So I'm on this huge film production set, and there's a bike in the middle of the set, and I'm like shaking. They had me prepare three songs. And I'm shaking going up to the set, and I get on the bike, and cameras everywhere, which is again my biggest fear. And I muscled my way through this class. And a couple of days later, they had told me that I got the job. And so, like, that was the first avenue where like I found myself, I'm able to make a little bit, I'm making more than $20 per class at Beachbody. And that was kind of like the foot in the door where I was like, I have a little bit more confidence. Maybe I could dive into this fitness thing full time, into something that I really care about. And that ended up blossoming up, like I fell in love with Beachbody, and that really grew. And then that gave me the confidence to step out on my own and start, coaching endurance training full time, as well as starting my own cycling studio on the beach in Santa Monica called Sun Cycle.
I mean,
So,
it's amazing.
yeah.
For me, and I don't know if you're really a person of faith, but there's that quote that your gift will make room for you, right? And you said like you worked in this job, and then but you loved cycling and you make 20 bucks, but you became gifted. Like doors opened for you. Your weight loss. You love cycling, and then you loved it. And next thing you know, you get this message, and then from there. You have a why, like your mindset was, I have a why because I love it to serve other people. Like there's just so many things here. Your why to serve others that started with yourself, but your why to serve others pushed you to face your fears. And then you didn't realize you had this gift to inspire people and that you love cycling. That was a gift you naturally have. And you are very gifted in it, Jared. I have to say that you're very gifted in it. And then you go out there and you're shaking, which is a facing of fear, meaning like you're literally like facing all this. But if you didn't do that, if you didn't face your fears, if you didn't take that first step in 2019, like where would you be? Like think about where you would be. And it's that first step that opens the doors and your why and you're facing your fear. And it's just unbelievable. Like I think of all the mindset things you've been through that can run parallel to anybody's story. You have to face your fears. You have to have a why. What is your gift? And they say your gift is a thing you do best with the least amount of effort. I can tell you right now, if I jumped on a bike and had to teach a cycling class, it would be disaster, right? But you get on, and for those of you that may have taken your class, Jared gets on, backward hat energy, right out of the gate, right, Jared? He goes on, the energy's there. He's like he's been doing it forever. He is gifted in it. So your gift is the thing you do best with the least amount of effort. And when you love it, you get to where you are now. I mean, Jared, there's so much there that you share that I love. And then like Sun Cycle. So how did that like start? Because that's another thing. So you had the business mindset, and I know it wasn't easy to start that. It wasn't just handed to you like, here you go, here's everything. I'm sure there was fears there and assumptions and all the things, right?
Listen, I had a comfy 9-to-5 job, and
Right.
I was teaching on the side. I obviously had body that I was doing as well, but I was balancing these two lives, right? Like, I think that that's kind of like a trend that I've been kind of talking about, where like I have this life at my 9-to-5 that I hated, but then I also, honestly, and this is something I can say now, I was cutting work to like go teach at body in the middle of the day, right?
That's
And so
great.
like I'm living these two lives, and like this one part of my life is basically taking all my energy away. And this other part of my life, which is the cycling, is filling up my cup and giving me a purpose. And it, because I had Beachbody at the time, like all of a sudden that cup started to overflow and give me the confidence to leave that up, leave the part of my life that was not serving me. And so it's interesting, like thinking back, like obviously, giving me the confidence to start Sun Cycle and chase this other dream of mine. It's interesting thinking back to all these points, over the last 4 or 5 years, there's been multiple forks in the road where it could have been gone two different ways, right? Talk about my doctor. I could have been like, you know what? Screw it. I'll keep playing. Like, I don't want to get on the bike. Or, it could have been, any of these other points. And it's always been the point of like when there was a fork in the road, and there's an easy route and there's an uncomfortable route. every time I went the uncomfortable route, it led to growth and it was like a catapult. And so that's something that I try to think about. In the moment, it can suck, right? In the moment, you get these two situations where you can go the easy route or you can get a little bit uncomfortable. And it's hard to make that decision. But, you know, if you could fast forward a couple of months, a year, 2 years down the line, I think oftentimes the uncomfortable route is going to be the one that serves you the most. And that's, you know, that's something that I try to think about on a day-to-day basis when I am getting stressed out and I am, you know, it's being a prisoner of the moment. I try to think, oh, down the road, this is really going to help me.
Right. It's getting comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right? And then,
and, you know, I say that all the time, right? Like get uncomfortable with getting uncomfortable. But I think that a lot of people, even though they say that, they limit their discomfort.
In my opinion,
like when you get super, like it's about when you set a goal for yourself that you don't think that you can hit. How often do we do that? Right. Like how often do we set a goal with the expectation that we could potentially fail? And when we do that, that's when we find our upper limits. Cause you're shooting for the stars, or what is it? You shoot for the moon, land on the stars, right? But I think that oftentimes we shoot for something that's going to make us uncomfortable. But I think that there's a little bit more. I think that oftentimes we set ourselves a little bit short. And so that's
we play it safe. We play it safe. I like that. People do. They don't realize you really have to. You know, I heard something. I forget why I heard it. It was about that you should be. And it wasn't Grant Cardone. Grant Cardone has a book, 10X. They said you should never say I'm going to 2 or 3X something, because if you 2 or 3X something, you're very close to just being where you already are right now. But if you go out and want to 10X your relationships, your marriage, your career and everything, that's enough. That's going to move you enough so much that you are going to push yourself to that level of uncomfortable to grow. You can't just say I want a 2X or 3X because you'll easily slip back. Like you have to approach things. And with your analogy, that probably would stop people from not shooting big enough, because if you're thinking 10X in everything, you know, you're going to get yourself uncomfortable. I think that's great. So your business, go ahead.
It has to scare you. And kind of like circling back to what we're talking about, like what scares me on the race course of not moving forward, right? Not finishing scares the shit out of me. I don't know if I can cuss on here, but
no, it's all fine.
like 35 miles into the race, in that specific race, or even like I had some crazy stories during my Ironman, which I probably don't have the time to get into right now, but like I got in a bike accident during my Ironman, right? And so like in the middle of the race, downpouring, right? And that's a 140.6 mile race in Cozumel, Mexico. I had brought my friends along with me, my wife along with me. We went all the way down to Mexico, you know, made this whole thing. I trained for a year for that race. Everybody knows that I'm racing. The guilt of not hitting that finish line, I would have had to get to that finish line and die trying. Right. Like there is a level of like, it scares me, but what scares me is the embarrassment of not actually making it. Right. And so like, there's something about setting goals that, you know, you don't think that you can hit, but also having the mindset that at least like in that specific example, in a vacuum, I'm going to do whatever I can to make it there. And I'm going to give everything that I got to do it.
No, I love it. And for me in the New York City Marathon, I had a
disaster. Yeah, I remember reading your book.
All the cramps started happening, probably everything, both legs, calves, my forearm, my lat, the wildest thing. I did everything right in the training. In hindsight, looking back, I think I overhydrated the days before, looking at my diet. That's another thing. But the mindset was like my wife said to me, like, David, did you ever think to go in one of the medical tents and get a salt packet? It was lack of sodium, right? And I'm like, no, because my mindset was so strong. Like my only focus was I need to finish. Like, all right, so I'm not going to do it in the time I wanted, but there was no plan B. When people go in with a plan B, it's like you're giving yourself a way out. Like when you go in and you're training and your mindset gets that strong, it's no, I'm going to finish. As you said, I'm going to die trying. And that was my thing. Like I will finish. And I was in so much pain, but there was no plan B. It's not even an option.
But listen, like that builds mental toughness, what you did, but also on the other end of it, Now you know for next time, oh, I need to hydrate differently. I need
Right.
to nutrition differently. I can take a salt tab. I can do these, like, this is how my body reacts to it. And so it's a give and take, right? It's like always moving forward and learning, like these, that's why I love endurance racing and training so much, is because there's so much to learn. There's so much to gain from a mental perspective, but there's so much to learn about yourself along that process and along the road, and how to better improve yourself the next time you run into a situation.
It's so great. It's no, you're never failing unless you stop. Like, you're always learning from something, and that's great. So, John, I have a couple questions to kind of, as we kind of wrap up. They may take a couple minutes. The first is, who would you say is the most influential person in your life, and how do you think they impacted you today?
Oh
These are a
my
little bit
God.
more personal, but I think they're always things I like to ask.
Listen, there's so many people that it really takes a village. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't just list one person.
Because you've
My
been.
wife, we always joke around. She's been with me through thick and thin, right? Like, she has been by my side through this transformation. And there, we kind of talked about earlier, like, sure, I love cycling and I love the process, but I'm human. And everybody else deals with this. There's tough days, and having her be
Rock.
basically be my rock through the whole situation. Like, having her with me is, we push each other, and I like to think that we bring out the best in each other.
I
So,
love it. I
can't
love
not
it.
bring her up. Obviously, I talked about my dad in that situation, right? Like, watching him, like, and seeing his transformation and seeing him bring on that new, healthier lifestyle, that was awesome. We talk about David Goggins all the time, right? Like, I read his book at a crucial point in my life where I was kind of going through this process and being able to build that mental toughness. And I kind of like identified with a lot of the things that he had gone through, right? So, like, for
Right.
those who don't know who David Goggins is, he was this over he was basically overweight his entire life, ended up getting into Navy SEALs, lost like 100 pounds over like 3 months, which is a crazy stat. And like ended up like springboarding him into this whole other area of life and building mental toughness as well. So reading his book was really influential. I don't
And
know,
it
it's hard.
could change, Jared. It could change. Like, some people, they'll have one person, but for me, I think whether it's, say, it's my mom or my family, it also, like I said, my mentors for so many years became the authors of the books that I read because they influenced me in a way to get me to where I'm now. And it's constantly evolving and changing. Some people have a one thing. You have multiple people. Like you said, it takes a village, you know? To my next question, like, you making such an impact, and I may know the answer, but if somebody said, Jared, how do you want to be remembered? How would you answer that?
I'd like to be remembered as somebody who gave it their all, who, like, even in the face of adversity, tried to find a way forward. And although maybe I don't reach the heights that I want to get to at all times, I gave my best effort trying to get there. And if I
Love
couldn't get there, I tried to find a way around, or plan B, or tried to manufacture a way to get as close as I can as possible.
I love it. I love it. That's great. My last question before we have people find out where they can connect with you. So, what would you say is the one thing you feel people need to know who feel stuck in their life? They're ready to improve, but they just don't know where to start. What would you say is that one main thing?
I kind of talked about it earlier, but just take action. Do
Take
something
action.
that set a goal that scares you and try to get there. And that sounds like it's oversimplifying things. I don't want it to sound like that, but any movement in one direction is better than staying stagnant. And telling somebody that you're trying to get there can also be very influential, because they can help cheer you on along the way. Maybe they can show you another area where you can improve on, or another way to tackle a certain situation. So I'd say take action, find somebody else, that's going to help support you along the way and help you conquer whatever goal. Because Lacey Green always talks about this quote, and I really don't want to butcher it, but she says, if you want to go far, wait, shoot.
I
Oh
know,
my
I
God.
think it's something if you
It's
want
something
to.
along the lines of, like, if you want to go far alone, go alone. If you want to go Oh my God, I'm butchering
You
his
go,
name.
you bring somebody with you. It's
Yeah,
the
you
premise that if you want to get,
come.
maybe if you want to get started, go alone. But if you want to go far, bring somebody along the journey
Yeah,
or
yeah,
something.
yeah.
It's the point that how much further you can go alone. But I think that the biggest thing, and I think I'm almost going to title this episode, is take action, because it's the start that stops most people. I believe that. And just starting and taking action. I love that point. You really drove it home. But Jared, thank you. I guess the last question I have is, where can all the listeners and the people watching or listening, connect with you, follow you? Jared talked about he may be eventually starting a book. I actually am now going to put it out there. Jared's going to has a great story to write a book. So you'll want to follow him. But where can people connect with you and find with you and connect and find you?
Yeah, so the best way is on Instagram. My handle is Sklarticus. My last name is Sklar, so it's Sklartacus. If you're ever in Los Angeles, you can visit us at the Sun Cycle on the beach in Santa Monica. I do daily classes. That's thesuncycle.com. And then I also do endurance training, like I mentioned. So anybody from first 5K all the way up to a full Ironman. I have athletes all over the United States, Canada, and even the UK. And I use, my training software to be able to not only plan workouts, but also track my athletes' progression as well. So anywhere pretty much in the world, I can train athletes. And so whether it's a 5K all the way up to Ironman, happy to help out and would love to help you or anybody listening to this to get to their goals when it comes to endurance races.
That's amazing. And everybody, I'll put this in the show notes in the description, how you can connect with Jared. But Jared, thank you so much. Such an inspiration. Keep at it. I'll end with Jared said he always has something on the calendar, meaning you always need to move forward. So wherever you guys are in life, make sure you're not sitting still. Set goals, work on improving, live up to your fullest potential. You deserve a great life. So Jared, thank you. Absolutely awesome. And guys, we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Personal Perseverance Project. My goal every single day is to help people live up to their fullest potential. So please share this episode, subscribe to my channel, and maybe even leave a review. Be sure to connect and follow me on all my social media channels. And if you would like more information about me potentially being a keynote speaker at your event, or maybe you want to work with me one-on-one as your private coach, be sure to go to my website at davidakinspeaks.com for more information. Thank you.